This is the time for people that's never been to one of these before. When we get a guest in, I like you having the chance to kind of pick their brain, because if your goal is to be a professional dancer or be a dancer or make dance some sort of living or whatever you want to do with it, like, it's so much more than just learning how to dance. It's so much more than steps, and everyone's going to have a different story, a different side, and different advice. And some things that we might say, or I might say, or Vicky might say, might mean fuck all to you, and you might be like, shut up, this doesn't make any sense and I don't get it. But something might relate to you, like, and be like, oh my god, you've lived my life like 10 years ahead of me, 10 years, not you, but like, just use this, not saying you're old, I am. Use this opportunity to like grow your brain and not just like your movement. And they'll both kind of work together and grow as one. Yeah, because I'm a big believer in smart dancers kind of pave the way for us, or they excel more than just good dancers. So this is your time to gain information and knowledge. My golden rule is do not ask, what's your favorite job? Because I fucking hate that question. Because it's so stupid. The only time it's a good question is if someone can tell you why, and the information back is gonna blow your mind. But otherwise, please don't say what's your favorite job, and not ask them why, because it's going to stress me out. Go. Normally Connor's, oh wow, arms. Normally Connor Wells is here and has got like 9,000 questions, but let's go. We'll go Scotland to Scotland. Go Lay.
What are some of your end goals and what are you doing right now to achieve them?
Okay, so what are some of her end goals?
Yeah. Mm.
And what's she doing to achieve them? I'm not deaf. I have to repeat everything so the mic picks it up. So when we remember what she's asked. Yeah.
I used to think I had an end goal, you know, and like one of my end goals was coming to London, get in London Studio Centre, get an agent, do EMAs, do X Factor, and then I realised that whatever I was looking for was not within any of these. And then I was gifted with a really, really beautiful job just before lockdown, where it kind of ticked all the boxes. You know, it's like everything that I'd ever kind of hoped for within a job was presented to me. And then lockdown happened, I had an injury and I couldn't dance. And it was someone that was like so obsessed with dance, as soon as that was stripped away, I kind of went through like a kind of midlife crisis of like, oh my God, everything I thought that this industry was supposed to give me wasn't giving me, and I was so dissatisfied with what, you know, like, of course I was grateful, of course, like, now I'm finding the gratitude that at one point I put that out there and I've achieved it. But now I feel like my goals have really changed and shifted. It used to be really dance, and now it's like human. You know, like, some of my goals in the morning is wake up in the morning and don't look at my phone. Like, that's a goal that in the bigger picture will create something really, hopefully, magnificent, you know. Can you repeat your question again? Because I feel like I've went off on a tangent.
Just what are you doing to achieve some of your...
Listen to myself. Lockdown, couldn't dance, really had to sort of connect to myself, really had to understand the emotions that I was feeling, really had to just let myself feel what I had to feel, maybe the feelings that I didn't let myself feel when I was 13, and really dissect why I behave in certain ways, why I interact with certain people, why I'm looking for approval within certain people, and really understand where that comes from. And it literally comes from like 12-year-old Vicky that got left out of school, who had an alcoholic mother, who's, do you know what I'm saying? Like, without getting into it, I started to realise that everything really stemmed from my childhood, and everything that I was sort of running from, I was hoping to achieve in these jobs, and they just weren't cutting it. So I really had to go on this whole healing journey and really just come away from dance. I'm still in the process of doing it. I've not trained in a very long time, and I'm in a place where I know that I recognise that it's important to be a student, but I'm also listening to myself and going, Vic, what do you need? What do you need to do? And it's quite easy, guys. Like, I get it. When you look at Instagram, you've seen people doing this and posting this and on certain jobs, and it just becomes noisy that you can't really focus on what it is you want to do. And I'm in like a really... like a transition into doing more creative stuff and teaching and holding space for people and really connecting with people. That's what brings me joy. Not like 5 seconds on stage with an artist that I've not even met and I can put on my CV, do you know what I mean? Like, that doesn't fulfill me. And when I was on stage and I was doing this stuff, I wasn't really dancing, and I love dancing.
I love it. And I wasn't dancing. I was on for 2 8s. You know, and I get it, it's not about me, but at the same time, like, I can choose what I want to do in my life, and if I get, like, a slight joy from being in class and fulfilling that dancer side of me, then I'll do that, but my goals have shifted. Like, I used to want to be on this tour and that tour, and which is great, but I think my focus has just, like, shifted onto what's right for me. Does that sound all right? Yeah, no problem. Yes.
Kai.
What are some of the main inspirations behind the way you move? And also, what are some of the main, like, thought processes or fundamentals that get you through that every day?
So what are some of the main inspirations to how she moves and the fundamentals that get her through her? Through every day.
So when I first came to London, I used to have like one dynamic. I was full out, one dynamic, loved dance, was sharp, I just went for it. And then when I moved to London, I seen contemporary dancers and I was like, I want to be able to move like that. And then I seen David Cottle, actually, he had a class at 6 to 8. And I'm like, the way that they move their body and they're so connected to, from their head to their toe, and everything's like, four-dimensional, like, do you know what I mean? It's like a living, breathing human rather than a cardboard cutout. That's what I found curious, and I would see people move like that and go, I can't do that, I want to be able to do that. And then I ended up going down the contemporary route, and I was just rolling about the floor all day, which is great. And I've had mentors and teachers, like Cisco was one. He says, like, babe, you're obsessed, like, you need to basically not dance for a bit. And at that time, I'm like, no, but like, it's been installed in me that I need to train. So that's like, that takes over the fear of missing out, the fear of that I'm not doing enough. And like, so that was like a plant a seed. And then I was training with Diana for a bit. And then she was just like, you're looking at it like choreography. And I didn't get it. I could understand what she was saying, but I couldn't, my body didn't understand what that was. And then when dance was stripped away, I could really work on the human part of me, and now when I dance, I take that with the dance. Does that make sense? Yeah, that's it. Just be. It's hard to, because you're probably like, what do you mean by connect to yourself? Like, it's a really hard thing. It's basically being okay with being still, being okay with feeling what you need to feel. And I really encourage that. If you need to cry, I know some people be like, don't cry, but I'm like, cry. Cry and dance at the same time, it's great. I love it. Have you ever cried and danced? Oh, it's amazing. I love it so much. Yeah, and I think as well, I'm going off on a tangent, but going through places and meeting certain people, it's really, you can quite easily get caught up in opinions and what you should be doing. You know, and I had to just strip that away. And I'm just like, I'm just going to live how I want to live. I want to go to the audition if I want to go. I don't want to go, then I won't go. You know, and I'll say no to things because my energy is more important about where I choose to be around and who I choose to be around and the types of people that I'm around. Do these friends make me feel good? No, they don't. Cut them. You know what I mean? And it's just being quite ruthless with yourself and knowing what's good for yourself will really help. I went off on a tangent, but I hope I've answered your question. Contemporary, I think that really opened up my world, and then seeing like David Cottle, Diana, I think she's been my inspiration from day dot, just how she moves, man. Just amazing. She's amazing. I could literally just pay class just to watch her move, and I'd be satisfied. You know? And I feel like I'm having an epileptic fit in her class, like, and I love it. I love feeling like I can't do it. You know, especially when I went to Copenhagen, I'm around like 14-year-olds that were incredible, you know, and I'm like flaming at the back, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's important to be humbled. It's nice to be humbled. It feels like shit, but it's important.
Tells.
Sorry, was that the end?
Yeah, go.
What is the biggest piece of advice that you would give to a student that you wish someone had given to you?
So the biggest or the best?
Best.
Oh, the best piece of advice that you wish you had when you were a student, basically.
That's a hard question. It's a hard question because it's something that I feel like I can't advise, because most of the things that you'll experience in your life, well, you'll realise through your life experience. So it's hard to be like, do this, because then you'll note it, but then you actually need to live the experience to know what it is. But the biggest thing is like, do other things. Like, don't just dance. Like, it's so funny. Like, I play volleyball, it's great.
John and Marco have got everyone on this volleyball hype. No, I bail every time they say come. I'm like, yeah, no, no.
Literally beach volleyball, and I'm
in the rain.
Oh, yeah, it's great, and it's just nice to be around dancers that are just like volleyball. It's hilarious. And I do want to go into like kickboxing and stuff, and just do other things that will just.
And if you think about it, they're all movement based, so they're all gonna like carry across into your dance life, because you might pick up new concepts and new skills. A dancer called Jonathan Bishop, I hope you know who he is, he's out of this world. Years ago, he taught a class at Pineapple, and he gave himself the challenge that every routine had to have, like every step, there wasn't allowed to be like what we would know as dance, but it had to be like sports movements. So he made an entire routine and be like, so this bit we're playing football, and then we play tennis. And like his whole routine was out of like different movements of like that you would do in sport, and he created a piece around it, and it was fucking dope. But it was just made by like every like movements that normal people would do, and not we would be like, this is a shamrock, or this is a Fresno. It was like just movement, do you know what I mean? But like if you think, if you go and try other things, that's gonna influence how you probably move, because you're gonna move in new ways that you've not moved before. Mm. When you lunge or dive for a volleyball, it might be different to how you lunge and dance. And it's gonna go, oh, that felt weird, but kind of cool. Or like kickboxing. Like if you go and watch martial artists who also dance, they have skill sets that dancers don't have. So there's a guy called Luke Broderick who choreographed Magic Mike, and he's like, his first ever job was like Britney World Tour, and he was a martial artist and used to do tricking and stuff. What was it when they have like those?
The sword things.
The ninja sticks. Nunchucks. Yeah, I was gonna say dumb chucks, but I felt stupid. He used to do that, and that carried across into his dance. So when he learned choreography and got good at dancing, he had another skill set which he could put within his dance and made him different and unique to others. And that was his, if I've been teaching you at college, that was his ingredient that he had that other people didn't have.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So do other shit, because that's dope advice, because all you guys probably do every single day is dance.
I did a workshop ages ago when I was in my contemporary world, and it was a guy that sort of is, have you heard of Deviate? Physical theatre? Yeah, so he came in and he was like doing some crazy stuff. I felt so out of my comfort zone because he was getting us to shout and like, I'm like, what's going on? Yeah. But I loved it because it's like, it's just nice to approach things like a 4-year-old and just not care. And he says, if you're only ever in the studio, that's all you ever produce. And I'm like, oh my God. That's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah, that's probably the best advice. If there was any, it'd be do other stuff. Yeah.
Yes. No.
How did you get past your need for validation? You go.
It's still an ongoing process. I'm now aware of it, whereas before it used to just be programmed and I didn't know it was there. And now I'm aware of it. I can feel it come up. You know, even when I'm creating, I'll sometimes turn around and be like, look for approval that what I'm creating is good or what I'm teaching is good. But I'm just aware of it, I'm working through it, it's still there. It's still there, I just comfort it because I know that she just needs a hug. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, that's literally all it is. It's the child in you that has been made to feel like that at some point. You know, I was like 8-year-old and I made an octopus. I hated my teacher, she was horrible. She was really, really horrible, and I was always really good at art, and she used to shun my art. So that used to happen. I made an octopus, wanted to make a 6-leg octopus, and she says it should have 8 legs. And I'm like primary 3 at the time. I don't know what you call it down here. Year 3?
Year 3,
yeah. So primary 3, and I'm like a child feeling like my art's not good enough, you know, and that's how deep it goes. And it goes deep to your parents, so I've had to work through all of that. It's literally just that. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lau.
How do you get rid of your, like, bad habits? dance wise, instead, is there anything else other than drilling that you do to like dance differently and better every time?
How do you get rid of your bad habits besides just drilling them? Yeah.
How do you get rid of your bad habits? It depends what kind of habits. Is it dance related habits?
Yeah.
I don't have an answer to that.
I do.
Do you?
You have to acknowledge them first. How do you know you've got them? Are you watching yourself? Are you studying yourself? Are you thinking about what stuff looks like and what it feels like, not just one? Because if we get so caught up on what things look like and not what it feels like, and actually if you figure out what it feels like, then it's probably going to end up looking better than it would than just focusing on that one thing. So you have to find a way of acknowledging what your bad habit is. And then once you do it, make that feel normal. Put yourself in that position. So say your bad habit might be looking at the floor. Well, like set something like, I'm always going to stare at the top line of the mirror without fail. If your bad habit would be, I go wrong in groups. Well, cool. Make sure you always offer yourself to stand up when they go and you want to do a group. Make those things that are your bad habits feel normal. Make the uncomfortable feel comfortable. You have to always put yourself in that position as a dancer where we want to eliminate those bad habits, right? But to overcome it is actually the really hard part. Acknowledging it is tough. Your teacher might tell you, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's right. It's their opinion of your bad habit. It matters what you think about how you dance. It does matter about other people too, but again, that comes down to, are you looking for validation from someone? Because if, say, I didn't like one of your habits, but you love it, that's the thing you like, why would you get rid of it? You dance for you, you don't dance for me, right? But then to get rid of it, whatever it is, you have to work on it, and you have to make it where you're your own educator, you're your own teacher, which we've spoke about a lot. So like, what are you trying to work on? How do you work on that? You have to start to assess yourself. So my bad habits in choreography would be like, I suck with lines and details and shapes. So who would be good at that? Go and live in Sean Niles' class. Like for me, footwork and weight transfers are easy. Probably don't go and live in John and Marco's because it's my happy place, because that's what they do. Put yourself in those positions where you're going to train those bad habits out of you. But first of all, you have to acknowledge what it is. And is it really a bad habit or is it someone's opinion that they've told you?
That's, yeah.
Because Cisco's bad habit to me all the time is like, you don't dance full out enough for you. I dance full out enough for me. I don't want to dance at 110. I want to dance at 80. Like, that feels good to me. 110 feels like shit. It might look better for you, for your movement, but not for mine. So bad habit is preference. But who are you trying to please? Because yes, obviously I love Cisco, as we know, and I want him to say good job, but at the same time I want to watch me dance and go, I like how I dance. Because I dance for me, not for him.
Yeah.
Sorry. Mackenzie.
Have you got any tips for making your movement more effortless and not being so full out all the time?
Tips on how to make your movement more effortless?
Breathing. Yeah, it sounds this, but when I was going through training, my teacher always used to be like, Vicky, breathe. And I'm like, I'm breathing. Like, please, can we talk about it? I'm breathing. And then it wasn't until, you know, when you leave and things just start to make sense, and it comes with time, it comes with someone just planting a seed, and maybe this workshop today won't make sense until 3 years later. You know, and it's, and naturally, guys, we want to know the answers to things, but it's just letting whatever is supposed to unfold, unfold. Patience and compassion for yourself and for the journey. We always want to be at the end, and actually the most important part is the part in between when you're learning and you haven't got that yet. Now when I look back and I was just, had two left feet. I didn't have two left feet, but I had one dynamic. and just now when I look back on the videos, I don't know when the specific point was when it changed. It just changed. Time, class, learning. Yeah. Breathing really helps. And coming out the mirror. You know, and just seeing movement as like a, when you are learning choreography, next time that you are, when you're in a class and you're up the back and you can't really see the front, say that there's like a movement like that, rather than trying to see what the movement is, be inside it, rather than, yeah? and that's the majority of the thing, is we see the shape, we copy the shape, but actually I want to feel what the shape is. Yeah? There you go. Yes?
Do you find dance is your main outlet, or do you find the other things you choose to do outside of dance places that instead?
Can you say that again, please?
I can. Do you find dance as your main outlet, or do you find other things as your outlet besides dance? Is that right?
Yeah.
Sick.
Outlet, yeah. Yeah, I have other things. Do you mean like just to release?
Yeah.
To release? I'm sort of like, I'm quite spiritual, and I enjoy that world, and I enjoy like being in ceremonies and being in retreats and doing yoga and mindfulness. Yoga's really helped. Yoga has really, really helped, because when I rock up in my mat in the morning, I accept myself for how I'm feeling, and I take that moment to tap in with my body and just see where she's at. That has really helped me. Yoga has helped. I'm still in the process of knowing that meditation helps, but I'm not fully like in it. You know, and I recognise that fitness helps, meditation helps, journaling helps, but I'm just trying to take each step at a time, you know, rather than go and try to do it all at once, you know. Like, even for me, a small thing is, like, waking up in the morning without my phone. It's just reprogramming my brain that I'm focusing on.
All the things you've mentioned require you to be alone and require you to be with yourself and be stillness. So maybe that's it. It's not, like, going to be with my friends and do something. It's not going to party. It's not coming. Like, yoga is a thing where you have to be internal and you have to be on yourself and focus on you and be present. So is meditation.
Yeah, being alone. Cause that's the thing, guys. I had to just really be okay with being myself and being alone without feeling alone. Cause I've got myself. You know, I was saying to Kane last night. I was out, and I'm never out. I used to be out partying when I was 15, so by the time that I took dance more seriously when I was 18, that's when I properly started. I then just wasn't really out as much. I don't really enjoy being in nightclubs because it's just a lot for me, especially being drunk. Don't enjoy it. So I was out last night and I was just seeing everyone on their phones, and I'm just like, this is like a crazy world. And I'm recognising it because I'm more self-aware. You know when you're on the tube and you're like on your phone, and then because we all do it, we're all on our phone, we scroll, and then you look up and then you just see the whole carriage absolutely zombied. That is scary. That's a scary world, and I feel like most of you guys as well are taught to have your Instagrams to look a certain way, because most people are getting booked now through their Instagram. I had one agent saying like, oh, maybe you should not post as many groups, like, cause I used to post groups of people dancing. I'm like, well, I'm not changing that. You can either see if I can dance or not, do you know what I mean? So I don't conform to that. I don't conform to that world to have your headshot look a certain way. I'm going to do my headshot how I want. You can either see what I look like or, do you know what I mean? I don't compromise anymore at all. Again, I went off on a tangent, but yeah. I guess it's like other activities, other movement really helps me, just movement in general, just going out in the walk, being underneath a tree helps, I love it. Have you ever walked in bare feet? You should try it.
Isn't that called rooting or grounding?
Grounding, oh my God. Because like when you connect, because we're designed to walk in bare feet, but we've got rubber soles, so like, we lose a natural connection to the earth, and this is what grounds is. And you've got a whole generation of people that are just completely ungrounded, me including. So the woman that I go to for healing, I walk in her front door and she's like, what's going on with your heart? And I'm like, how do you know that? Do you know what I mean? Like, she just knows. Like, she's like, you're not grounded at all. You're not grounded. So I'd practice that. I feel like I'm tapping into another world that the phones don't allow us to tap into. Like, this world, the connection. Sorry, I'm just like...
It's okay.
Do you know what I mean? I enjoy that. I enjoy that a lot. Yes. Any other questions? Yes.
What are the best pieces of advice you'd say you've had from either teachers or people along your journey?
The best piece of advice from teachers or people on your journey? Do you need that again?
Yeah.
the best pieces of advice from teachers or people on your journey?
Well, it was that guy, if you're only ever in the studio, then that's all you ever produce. It was Diana telling me that you're approaching dance like choreography. It was Cisco saying that I'm obsessed. I don't even know if you remember that, but it sat with me. Best piece of advice? I don't think there's been anything really profound that someone has handed to me. You know, like, it's just more like I'll take and I don't know, I don't have an answer for that. I don't have an answer for that, so I'm not even going to try and answer it. Because I feel like I've answered it in other questions.
Mine to give to you, though, would be try everything and don't let your experience, or don't make up your mind on how you feel about that thing that you, the first thing that you try, the first time. Because sometimes the first time is the part where you're like, oh my fucking God, this is terrifying. And that's all you experience. So maybe you have to do it like 5 or 6 times, whether it's a style of dance or like going into a certain environment or a different classroom. Do it a bunch of times before you go, this isn't for me. Because the first time is normally led with fear and anxiety or nervousness. So that sets your tone going into the room, and that normally dictates your experience. So if you feel like you're drowning the whole time, don't let that be your experience. Go and try it again, because the next time won't be as scary, and the next time won't be as scary, and then you'll start getting better at it. And then when you get better at it, you'll start going, I fucking like this, because I'm good at it now. Like, especially within dance, because that's what I always used to do. I used to be like, I ain't going to do that class. And it'd be normally because I was afraid, because I was like, I don't know what that's going to feel like. Like, I'm 32, I say it all the time, last year I went into Tap Attack's 10-year-old tap class, and they were all looking at me like, who the fuck's the tall ginger old man in the corner? They definitely didn't say tall, but who's the old ginger guy in the corner? And I was terrified to dance in front of these little 10-year-olds and be the worst in the room, but I was like, I have to be the shittest in the room before I can be the best. I'm still nowhere near the best, I'm awful, but you have to get over that. And it was the most terrifying first experience. The first tap class I'd ever done in my entire life, ever, was with 10-year-olds who are the best tappers in the country. But I shouldn't let that dictate how I feel about tap, because it's gonna feel shit, because it's new. And if it feels amazing the first time, fucking win, hold on and run with it. But try it like 10 times, 5 times before you decide if you like something.
That's very good advice. That's very, very good advice. At the moment, I've got different coaches for different things, because I think it's important to have mentors, and it's okay sometimes you outgrow your mentors, which is fine.
You're meant to.
Yeah. So I've now got Rhymes. Do you know Rhymes? Yes.
I do.
Yeah. So she's my coach for just life, whatever that is. Okay, Vic, what do you want to achieve? Cool, we'll help you achieve it. Because I get in my own way as well, but I need someone to help me see it. And I've also got a fitness coach, Stella, and there's some days I wake up and I don't do my workouts and I feel like utter shit, and then I voice note her being like, Stella, I didn't do my workouts. And she's just like, you are self-sabotaging yourself. Like, she relayed how I was talking to myself, and she's like, we need to deal with that. Before you get to the workout, we need to deal with that, because that's the root of the problem. And most of you will approach dance like that. You know, mentors. It's nice to have some mentors. Yes. Anyone else? Yes?
If you were to meet your 50-year-old self, what do you think she would say to you?
Oh. You look fine, girl.
So me in the present moment and my 50-year-old self, if I met my 50-year-old self.
You met on the street or something, your 50-year-old self, and you meet that now.
What would the 50-year-old say to Vicky?
You're doing a good job, just keep going, man. You're exactly where you're meant to be. It's okay. You're doing a good job. I had a really freaky moment, right? I was sitting outside Pret, minding my own business again with myself, having a coffee. I have a coffee addiction. I'm dealing with that.
Respect.
Do you know what I mean? I'm aware of my addictions. I'm aware of when I overeat because I feel a certain way. I'm aware of when I drink because I want to numb my feelings. So I was sitting outside prepping my coffee, and this man just walks past, and then he like was like touching his head. You know the third eye? Do you know about the third eye? If you don't, that's fine. It's okay. It's the world that I'm in. So it's the place we naturally connect with people and see more than what we can see. And he was like, you're going to live for a long time. And then just disappeared. And I just sat there like, what the fuck was... I'm like, nobody was here to witness this. But he was harmless. He literally just went, you're going to live for a long time. And just floated away. Literally floated away. No, I'm joking. But, so that was a crazy, crazy experience. And it's almost like I get like reminders of where I'm at. I'm all right. So I think she would just be like, "Vic, you're doing all right. You're doing good." Yes.
So I'll flip that. If you met your 10-year-old self,
I would just hug her. I would just hug her. Yes. And I feel like I'm ready to cry, but that's completely normal.
It's okay, we'll cry and dance. You like that?
Yeah, I like to cry and dance. I think as well, like my drive to leave Scotland was to make a better life for myself. And that's exactly what's happening. Because I think as well, guys, like you all have your own situations going on in your home, you know? And It's really nice because now I'm at a place where I can go home and accept what it is and separate myself. Whereas before I would go home and get triggered, and that's why I would never go home. It's turning into a counselling session. I think it's important to be vulnerable, and at the beginning my head has been hooked on the fact that I said that my mum was an alcoholic, but we probably all have an alcoholic in the family. I'm just scared in case she sees that. Do you know what I mean? Because there's no like harm. She's just dealing with her life how she knows, and I just had to really accept that. And that's why like the dance part of me is just so not important. I really had to deal with that. I had to deal with the what came with that dynamic in my household, you know. But I would just hug her. It was like a 10-year-old Vic that was just trying to fit in with everyone and just wanting to be popular and just getting left out and getting bullied. And I don't want to seem like I'm sympathising myself, but I had to go through that because it's made me who I am, you know. And I would not change it for the world. I would go home and be like, fuck yous all. Do you know what I mean? But with compassion, because I can see where it comes from, you know. I just want to hug them, because clearly something's happened to them. But when you're a kid, you don't get that. You don't understand it. But I would hug her. Yes.
I think it's a real eye-opener. Like, and the older you get and the more things you experience, the more you'll relate to it. But, like, at the moment, now, for everyone that I really know in the room, like, dance is your life. Because it is all you do all fucking day. Every single day, as you wake up and you put on those tights and you go, got to go do ballet, got to go do this. Like, that is, you're so consumed with life that that's all it is. If you don't get a move at peace, you'd be like, oh my God, I didn't get picked. It's like the world is ending. And like, when you pass that and you get older and you experience other things, you realize that dance is such a small part of life.
Oh my God,
and actually, yes. It is a beautiful part. It's amazing because it's the thing that makes you happy if you choose to put yourself in those happy places. But like, we did a podcast the other day, a live podcast on Saturday, and it was meant to be like, you're the opening act, like make everyone happy. And it turned into kind of like a therapy session with a bunch of strangers that we didn't know. And like, I just basically said to them all, like, I've had the most incredible dance career in the entire world that I could ever have dreamt of. And come from a shitty little town, Cardiff's not shitty, take the back, I love you, a shitty school. In Wales, and I've had the best like dance life ever. And all I've learned at the age of 32 is that it's just dancing. It's only dance, and there's a whole life outside of it. Because if you go and speak to all the people outside that don't dance, they have a whole life. And no matter what happens in the life, the world keeps going. Mm. Whether there's dance or no dance, like, things keep happening. So like, treasure the moments when you're in the studio, but like, embrace the moments when you're out the studio. Because then you'll really enjoy the ones in the studio and they'll mean more.
Oh my God, yeah, 100%. And as well, another, like, if I have to give any other advice, don't put your life on hold for any of this shit. If you want to go traveling, don't wait about because you know there's an audition in like 5 weeks. So you're not going to go traveling in case you go to the audition. Go traveling, go do what you need to do. You know what I mean? Like, I've been penciled for so many jobs, but I'm like, I'm getting on with my life. I'm not waiting about, you know? And like, they'll mold to my schedule, not the other way about, because that is what fucks with you as well, isn't it? When you just make yourself accessible to everyone. Nah, if you want to go traveling, I still need to go traveling.
But, that's my biggest weakness, is I accept and I give myself to everyone and everything. I take on the stupidest schedule in the entire world, and I sit there and I go to Jake, how am I going to do this? And he goes, I don't know, bro, but you've said it, so you'll make it happen. And then I have to retract. Like, but that's where I become a dancer and not a human. And even this reminds me that you go, you have to be a human before you be a dancer.
Don't put your life on hold for it. You know, another thing as well, sorry, I keep talking.
No,
And also, I apologise. If you know you apologise for shit, don't apologise. I just say sorry all the time. I think it's a Scottish thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
We say sorry. Like, somebody bumps into me and I'm like, sorry.
They all say sorry when they ask a question.
Yeah, sorry.
They go, sorry, can you... I'm like, why are you saying sorry?
Yeah.
You've paid for me to answer your question. Don't be sorry. Thank you for asking.
I've lost my train of thought now. I had a point, but it's disappeared.
You always say sorry.
There was something before that. It's disappeared. What were you saying?
Dance is, you have to be a human before you're a dancer.
Yeah, it's gone.
It's okay.
It's back. I remember going to an audition. It was like, I was just fresh out of uni. And then turned up, guys, like, I'm not going to audition in my thong and bra. Like, that's not going to happen. And I wore these, like, cool trousers. I look cool. And I remember saying to someone, like, do you think this is all right? And then they were like, oh, I think you should wear something a bit tighter. In my head, I'm like, fucking no. Like, I'm here to dance, I'm not here to, like, stand in. And I did that, and I got the job, do you know what I mean? But I would have been more annoyed with myself if I followed that and stood there in my bra. Then my nipple will be out on the table. I'm not going to do that. So it's just about listening to yourself, do what you want, don't be accessible, say no when you want to say no, and do other things other than dance, and just deal with your, I don't want to even say dramas because that seems heavy, but I think once I sort of went through that journey and went through the heavy part of it, the other end is just so beautiful because it doesn't hold me down anymore. It doesn't hold me down. You know, that story that I kept telling myself for years has been rewritten. You know, I could feel myself a bit when I was talking about it getting all emotional, but I'm not in that place anymore. Do you know what I mean? I just have love and compassion. I just like hugging people. Are you all okay?
Yeah.
Promise?
Hi.
You know, like, everything that you guys feel is everything that we feel. Like, we're not robots. We're not robots.
So, we all good?
Yeah.
Give a big clap and thank you to Vicky. You. Seven o'clock, peeps. Peace out. Thank you so much. You're
thank
amazing.
You.